But to begin this evening, the great bell of Notre Dame de Paris. That sound rang out across the French capital on Wednesday in a tribute to the Gothic landmark's resilience and to all the medics battling the coronavirus. Notre Dame has stood at the heart of French culture and society for more than eight centuries. It was a year ago this week that a massive fire broke out, an inferno that raged out of control, tearing through the cathedral and leaving it in ruins. To talk about the ongoing restoration of the building and its long and storied history, I'm joined now by Dr. Laura O'Brien, an historian of modern France at Northumbria University in Newcastle. Laura, you're very welcome indeed to the History Show. After the fire, you might get the sense that Notre Dame was a bit like the GPO after 1916, a stone facade left standing but everything else basically destroyed. But how much of it actually survived?
I think quite a surprising amount survived. There was so much anxiety that night on the 15th of April 2019 about what would actually make it. And there was still a really significant fear that the cathedral would collapse that night. Because of where the fire hit, significant damage was done to the roof. There is still quite a lot of the surviving materials and surviving statuary and art objects and other religious artefacts within the cathedral itself. So some people may have seen the footage from Good Friday of they did the veneration of the Crown of Thorns relic for the first time since the fire. And you can see there that you can still go into the cathedral, but you can't go through the main part of the nave, which is the sort of the main central aisle in the cathedral because of the damage to the roof. So there has been significant smoke damage and water damage, but the problem is not so much the loss of the interior. The problem is more the invisible damage that has been done to things like the glass, the stonework of the cathedral, and obviously the complete disappearance of the oak roof structure above it. So the main focus, I think, for the restoration project since last year has not so much been on putting stuff back, but on rather assessing the nature of the damage that we can't see as much as the damage that we can.
We're talking about a cathedral that took over a century to build in the first place. It's been restored and modified numerous times over the centuries, most notably in the 19th century, and we'll talk about that later. And those restorations often took decades to complete. How long will it take to get Notre Dame back to the condition it was in before the fire?
Well, if you listen to Emmanuel Macron, he says that you'll be able to go in by 2024. That was his five-year time frame. Conveniently, that also happened to be the year that Paris is due to host the Olympics. So when he announced that last April, I think many people realised that this was as much about the date of the Olympics as it was about the likelihood that Notre Dame would be viable again. On the 15th of April this year, so marking the year or the anniversary of the fire, he issued a message to the French people where he said, "We are still on time to do this, even though work has ceased as a result of the coronavirus epidemic or pandemic." So he has insisted that they will meet that time frame. The likelihood is if there's any access by 2024, it will be simply to be able to go into the building again. And that will involve a huge amount of work. From my perspective, and you know, as a historian rather than an architect or an architectural specialist, knowing how long it took to do the restoration work in the 19th century and before then, where they weren't replacing the entire roof, it will probably be several decades before the building is anywhere near what it looked like on the evening of 15th of April 2019.
Okay, let's talk a bit about the history of the cathedral and the decades leading up to that restoration in the 19th century that you've talked about. Was it, for example, desecrated during the French Revolution in the late 18th century?
Well, I think famously, yeah, people point to the desecration or the damage done to the cathedral in the revolutionary period. So in 1794, it's designated a Temple of Reason. There's statues of the Virgin Mary are replaced with statues of female representations of liberty and the French Republic. And I think most infamously, the row of the kings of Israel or kings of Judea that are on the front of the cathedral, which are now 19th century replacements, they were ceremonially taken off and decapitated. The story is that someone thought they were the kings of France. So this was a kind of a ritual ceremonial decapitation of the sort of former tyrants who had ruled France. And it's used as a grain store and a sort of an arsenal, a store for weapons during the revolutionary period. But actually quite a significant amount of change, and some people would probably say damage, had happened to the cathedral during the 17th and 18th centuries under the reign of Louis XIV in particular, who made significant changes to the choir part of the cathedral in particular. removing the original Gothic altar, replacing it with a neoclassical replacement, which was the style of the 17th and into the early 18th century. They took out a lot of the stained glass and put in clear glass because that was the style of neoclassicism in the 18th century, to have clear sunlight rather than sunlight filtered through stained glass. So really, by the time you get to the revolutionary period, the spire has been taken down. It was the process of taking it down had begun in the 1780s. It was dates back to the 13th century, but it had become so damaged and dangerous that they had to take it down. Obviously, the Napoleonic coronation happens there in 1804, but really the revolutionary damage is only just part of a kind of a longer history of, I suppose, decay, changes to being made to the cathedral, but also I think a degree of it being kind of left and abandoned with, I suppose, misguided efforts to shore it up over the course of the 18th and into the early 19th centuries.
Talk to us a bit about Victor Hugo. He played an important role in the cathedral's history with the publication of his novel Notre Dame de Paris in French, published in English famously as the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And I think he was somebody who brought about a renewed appreciation for the building.
Yeah, Victor Hugo is probably the most famous novelist in 19th century France, probably one of the most famous French novelists and writers of all time. And he's also a campaigner and an advocate for medieval architecture and for the Gothic. He's what we would call part of the Romantic literary and artistic movement in the early 19th century. And one of the things that Romantics are very interested in is the medieval and the Gothic. And for Hugo, he felt that medieval buildings were effectively being left to rot in the city of Paris. He'd written pamphlets and essays about the devastation of medieval buildings in the city prior to the publication of Notre Dame de Paris, or The Hunchback of Notre Dame, which he publishes in 1831. So we all, or many people, know the story about Quasimodo and Esmeralda and Frollo and so on. But if you read the novel, it's interspersed with Hugo's sort of musings on the architecture. He makes references to the damage done in the revolution to the cathedral. He refers to the damage done by Louis XIV and by people of the 18th century taking out the stained glass and so on. So it's as much a kind of an argument for saving this building as it is a novel, as it is a kind of fictional tale. So he uses the story almost as an excuse to make a case for the importance of Notre Dame and its significance in French history and its place in the city of Paris. And it's after the success of the novel in the 1830s and into the 1840s that you get a decision in 1844 by the then French King Louis-Philippe to fund the restoration work on the cathedral, which then begins.
And was that where Eugène Viollet-le-Duc comes in?
Yeah, so the architect, Eugène Viollet-le-Duc, is 30 years old in 1844, so he's quite young. He and his partner Lassus pitch, effectively, or put forward a proposal for their plans for restoration, and they win the contract. So this young architect who's fascinated by the Gothic, who's known for his research on the Gothic, on Gothic architecture, and has published several works on Gothic architecture and history, is appointed to conduct the restoration work at this point in the mid-19th century. This is not as significant as the restoration that will have to be done now on the cathedral. Viollet-le-Duc did not have to replace the roof, although we know that some of the roof wood found after the fire actually dated from the 19th century, not the 13th century, as was originally thought. But he does do major things, like he replaces a lot of the stained glass, he takes out the neoclassical altar and replaces it with a Gothic style altar. He builds a large sacristy building on the side of the cathedral, which had been long needed as the original had been effectively destroyed in the 1830s. And most significantly, he replaces the spire on the crossing point of the cathedral, replaces it with a structure in oak and then with a lining or a covering of lead in a Gothic style, which he does deliberately to evoke the 13th century. That's what he's trying to do. So the spire that came down last April, which looks medieval to all intents and purposes and to people who wouldn't necessarily be familiar with the intricacies of 13th century architecture, was actually put there in the 1850s into the 1860s by Viollet-le-Duc.
Now, of course, the 19th century saw a lot of changes to Paris itself. It was essentially remodeled, redesigned, recreated by Gustav Haussmann, and that involved a lot of demolition of buildings. And that also took place around Notre Dame, didn't it?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I suppose surprises people if you talk to them about what the Île de la Cité, which is the island that Notre Dame stands on, looked like before circa 1850, 1855, is that the space around Notre Dame, so what they call the parvis, the square in front of the cathedral, was only 1/6 of the size it currently is by the mid-19th century. Most of that space was occupied from the Middle Ages and well into the 19th century by housing, often quite poor quality housing, slum housing effectively, and also by the Hôtel Dieu Hospital, which is still there in a 19th century form in a different location near Notre Dame, but was right up to the cathedral, which I think reflects the kind of relationship between the church and charity in the Middle Ages. That was its kind of original location. So the Île de la Cité, which is now really an administrative centre in Paris, you have the law courts, you have the prefecture of police, the police headquarters, and you have Notre Dame and the hospital, really until relatively recently, historically speaking, until the middle of the 19th century, was actually associated with criminality, with poverty, and with narrow medieval streets that now we would think of as being full of character and full of a sort of classic Parisian appeal, winding streets, narrow buildings and so on. But in the middle of the 19th century, were associated with health problems, for example, the cholera epidemics of the 1830s and 40s, with criminality, and therefore had to be removed. So the area around the cathedral is kind of left quite exposed, I think, by the work done on the island in the middle of the 19th century. But I think it's used as a kind of, it becomes much more monumental as a result of that, because it's much more open to people seeing it from the other side of the river, approaching it on the square in front of it and so on.
In terms of the restoration of the building itself, were there architectural records housed in Notre Dame? Would they have been lost in the fire, or were they kept elsewhere, off-site?
Well, the good news is, in terms of looking back at the work, records of the work that was done, firstly, that Viollet-le-Duc and Lassus were meticulous, well, broadly meticulous, quite record keepers in terms of leaving behind architectural plans, but also a daily record of the work done on the cathedral. So you can actually read what happened every single day for 20 years on Notre Dame. So we can find out exactly when a certain window went in and so on. That, thankfully, was stored off-site because it belongs to the French state, as Notre Dame does, rather than to the cathedral itself. So there is a significant amount of information that modern-day architects can use to go back to uncover some of the secrets of the original or the 19th century restoration. And there are also some details from other restoration efforts or other efforts to shore up parts of the cathedral over the centuries that we can go back and look at. The really good thing is that advances in technology in the 21st century have meant that Notre Dame is or has been significantly digitally mapped, most recently in the sort of 2010s by a Belgian scholar called Andrew Talon, who undertook a massive 3D mapping exercise of the cathedral, creating a kind of data cloud of Notre Dame, which now architects, scientists and planners can go back to see the exact details of the building. And there's a similar one for the inside of the roof as well. So a combination of 19th century records, which were thankfully kept off site and haven't been damaged, and the data captured in the 2010s and the 21st century means that there is a significant amount of information on Notre Dame that should hopefully aid the people undertaking the restoration.
Now, you mentioned the 19th century restoration brought in 19th century amendments and changes to the building. This is a 21st century restoration, and it's been suggested that perhaps a more modern approach could be taken, that there could be changes to the design, the structure of the cathedral, and that an exact recreation of what was there before is not absolutely necessary. How do you think that's going to pan out?
Well, there's been a significant amount of controversy about this, really from the night of the fire itself. I think Macron said, we're going to do this in 5 years. And I think most architects and historians raised an eyebrow at that. And he said that the roof, the new roof and the spire, should, as he put it, make a contemporary architectural statement, which we also raised an eyebrow at, because I think, you know, there's a degree of kind of using the roof as an opportunity for him to make a statement and for there to be a kind of a legacy for the current regime, I guess, as much as something that is good for the cathedral. I guess, as you said, there is an argument that the 19th century made its own 19th century additions to it. And Viollet-le-Duc and Lassus's work has not been without controversy and is still seen as quite controversial among experts of medieval architecture. There is, I think, a feeling, a general feeling in France in terms of public polls and so on, that they would like to see the roof and especially the spire restored to what it was, to restore to the look of the Viollet-le-Duc spire from the mid-19th century. The mayor of Paris, Anne Hidalgo, has said her preference is for a recreation rather than something new. There is supposed to be an architectural competition, and some architects have thrown out what I personally feel are quite extreme modern, I suppose, versions of the roof. And there was a recent or a controversy towards the end of last year where General Georges Alain, who is a former head of staff of the chief of staff of the French army, who has been appointed to the committee overseeing the restoration, was reported to have told the chief architect to put it bluntly, shut up, when he said that he preferred a recreation. So there is a significant amount of tension around what will happen with the spire and a significant amount of pressure to come up with a decision quite quickly. I think the general impression is that there is a feeling for recreation among and restoration among people who are involved in terms of architecture and the Historic Monuments Department in France. But I think there's a certain amount of pressure from the state to make a grand gesture around this. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
Well, it's going to be fascinating, controversial detailed and obviously very painstaking work to restore this great building, much like it was when Eugène Viollet-le-Duc oversaw the renovation in the 19th century. Dr. Laura O'Brien, thanks for joining us this evening to talk about the history of Notre-Dame Cathedral and the ongoing efforts to restore this historic landmark.